Couple weeks ago, in fact, I think it was the 19th of October, I did a message and it was entitled, Jesus Christ Heals You. So tonight is going to be part two of Jesus Christ Heals You. And that at that time, there seemed to have been more information, and it has evolved. So we're going to continue to look at some of the same things we did. Then we're going to review them. I'll do a quick review. But we were looking at faith. We were looking at Jesus being the healer and being determined to get what belongs to you. That's important. Be thinking of that as we go through the message tonight. What belongs to you, and are you determined to get your healing? We started out by looking at Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 in the New Living Translation. And it simply says, But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness, who happens to be Jesus Christ, will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out to pasture. So Malachi is looking down the road. He's looking at the future for the Messiah to come. He's looking at what the Messiah is going to do and bring. And we see healing is going to be prevalent when the Messiah comes, and the people will be leaping with joy. God was present to heal in the Old Testament. In fact, healing is God's idea. He was present in the Gospels when Jesus was here and also in the book of Acts, and he's present to heal today. What I find interesting is that you encounter so many people who think that healing was done away with the apostles once they passed on. But we know that that's totally incorrect because healing is here for us today. So we looked at Psalm 107:20 in the Passion Translation, Psalm 107, verse 20, in the Passion. It simply says, God spoke the words, quote, be healed, and we were healed, delivered from death's door. Old Testament. So I asked the question the last time in part one, how bad do you want your healing? How bad do you want your healing? Now, if you want to get a good foundation, if you didn't listen to that message, then I suggest you go back and read or listen to that first before getting into tonight's, but it'll give you a good foundation of tonight. So we're going to look at the specific stories, starting with blind Bartimaeus. I'm not going to go into as many details as I did last time because there's more scriptures to get into. But in Mark 10, 46 to 52, in the New King James, I believe that blind Bartimaeus is a perfect example of bulldog tenacity. I believe that he's someone who displays the fact that I'm going to get what I want. I'm going to get what I need. So starting at verse 46, Mark 10, it says, Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5? She too heard about Jesus. We're going to hear that a couple times tonight. They heard about Jesus. So, verse 48. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Just remember now, he was not going to go along with what the crowd was trying to get him to do. He had an agenda. He had a focus, and that was to get to Jesus. All right. So they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling you. Jesus will always stop at the cry of faith. That's just a given. He's always going to stop and address the one with the cry of faith. Verse 50, throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. We talked about this, how important this is, because people were identified with their garments. And being a blind person, you had a garment that signified that you were a beggar. So he has this garment on, and he decides to throw it aside. that message that he's giving is, I'm not going to be blind anymore. He cast aside the beggar's garment, and it shows that he's willing to leave his blindness behind, get out of his comfort zone, and believe by faith that he's not going to need that anymore. Verse 51, so Jesus answered him and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. In the King James Version, just verse 52, it says, thy faith hath made thee whole. And when we look at the different words in the Greek, the word whole, W-H-O-L-E, there means sozo. It means to save, deliver, protect, heal, preserve, save, do well, be, or make whole. So Bartimaeus now has his vision back, okay? He's made whole, and so his whole life is now changed. He can function normally. He can even carry and hold a job, all right? All because of the healing power of Jesus. So what we talked about the last time was that the power in Jesus Christ opened the blind eyes of Bartimaeus. But it was the faith of Bartimaeus that activated that power. Let me say it again. The healing power in Jesus Christ opened the blind eyes of Bartimaeus. But it was the faith of Bartimaeus that activated that power. Personal application for all of us to learn from, okay? Your faith activates the healing power of God to operate in your body. That simple, not complicated. So when you need healing, it is so important that you decide to do something about it. Excuse me. Excuse me. It's going to come again. Excuse me. When you need healing, it's so important that you decide to do something about it, because we know that faith without works is dead. Jesus Christ heard the cry of faith from Bartimaeus. He kept saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So we see that blind Bartimaeus knew he needed to connect with Jesus. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, who she also heard about Jesus, and she too needed to connect with him and said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. So she had a perception about this man that she heard about, and she knew she had to connect. So as we know, she got to Jesus, she touched him, and was made whole. It was her faith that made her whole. Both of them knew that their healing would come from Jesus, and both of them expected to get their answers. Both of them did something about it. They didn't just sit back and wait. So we looked at the man who was paralyzed and lowered down through the roof. He too needed to get to Jesus. We saw that. That was in Luke 5, 17, 25. Now, I'm not going to read that. I'm just going to go through it as part of the review. So we saw in this story that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, he's at a place they couldn't get into Jesus by going into the building. They had to go through the roof. But the fact that the power is present to heal, it's interesting that only one person got healed. That was the paralyzed man. So again, Jesus saw their faith, forgives his sins, and gives him a command to do something. Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. They obviously knew that the paralyzed man also needed to connect with Jesus. They were bringing him to Jesus. They heard about him, obviously. They knew that this paralyzed man needed to get to Jesus. So they step out in faith. Jesus identifies their faith, and their faith activates the healing power that's present in Jesus to heal the paralyzed man. All right, now we're going to look at another story. Let's turn to Luke 7. We're going to read verses 1 to 10, and I'm going to read it in both the New King James and the Passion. Luke 7, 1 to 10. And this is the story of the centurion. Now, when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear to him, was sick and ready to die. Keep that in mind. He was close to death. So when he heard about Jesus, again, the centurion heard about Jesus and knew he needed, obviously he knew, I got to connect to this man, all right, for the sake of his servant. This wasn't for himself, this was for his servant. He sent elders of the Jews to him, to Jesus, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly. They get to Jesus and they beg him. Now, let me just comment here. Back then, maybe, it was common to beg for your healing. But because we are in covenant with Christ and healing is our covenant right, we do not have to beg God for healing today. That's not in the new covenant. It is actually something we are entitled to. So saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. I'm now up to verse 5. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Verse 6. Then Jesus went with him. Jesus is not a respecter of persons. Okay? And also notice that he's going with the centurion who's not a Jew. He came for the Jews, but he was going with a Roman. Verse 6, then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word. Say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority. Remember that we're going to talk about authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not in even in Israel. Amen. This was great faith that he's experiencing and seeing. And it's not coming from a Jew. It's coming from a Roman. Verse 10, those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. Amen. Awesome story of faith. All right, so let's read the same verses. Luke 7, starting verse 1, in the Passion. After Jesus finished giving revelation, and that word revelation in the Greek means rhema, or it basically means teaching. He finishes teaching to the people on the hillside. He went on to Capernaum. A Roman military captain there had a beloved servant whom he valued highly, who was sick to the point of death. Now, I don't know if the servant was Jewish. I don't know his culture because it doesn't tell us, okay? But the servants were obviously considered less valuable, yet they had value because they were needed, all right? So when the captain heard that Jesus was in the city, again, we see that he heard. He obviously was like the woman with the issue of blood and Bartimaeus. He knew this Jesus was someone special. He sent some respected Jewish leaders to plead with him to come and heal his dying servant. Verse 4. So they came to Jesus and told him, the Roman captain is a wonderful man. If anyone deserves a visit from you, it is him. Won't you please come to his home and heal his servant? For he loves the Jewish people, and he even built our meeting hall for us. Verse 6. Jesus started off with them, But on his way there, friends of the captain stopped him and delivered this message. "Master, don't bother to come to me in person, for I am not good enough for you to enter my home. I'm not worthy enough to even come out to meet one like you." And one of the side things that I was reading, the Passion said, he actually considered or believed he was the Son of God. So he heard a lot about him. But he says, "But if you would just speak the word of healing from right where you are, I know that my young servant will be healed." Man, this Roman captain was knowledgeable, a man of faith, okay? "Just speak the word of healing right from where you are. I know that my servant will be healed." This tells me that this was a faith statement. This captain had faith. "I know that my servant will be healed." He was expecting it. He was expecting that his servant would be healed. I know it. My question to you, do you know what your Jesus can do for you? Think about that. Do you know what your Jesus can do for you? The same thing. Now we're in verse 8. He says, "I'm an ordinary man, yet I understand the power of authority, and I see that authority operating through you." Wow. He recognized what Jesus could do, and he recognizes authority. And this is important too, because, you know, Pastor Ed's been teaching and going over the different things on authority. We need to understand that that authority belongs to us and we need to exercise it. And in this case, it was on behalf of someone else. "I understand the power of authority, and I see that authority operating through you. I have soldiers under me who obey everything I command. I also have authorities over me whom I likewise obey. So, Master, just speak the word and healing will flow." Wow, that was a man of faith. "Just speak the word and healing will flow." Just speak the word and healing will flow. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. Speak the word and healing will flow. First comes the speaking of the word, and then comes the healing. So if you are in a situation where you're dealing with symptoms, speak the word, and the healing will flow. Verse 9, Jesus marveled at this. He turned around and said to the crowd who had followed him, "Listen, everyone, never have I found among the people of God," he's talking about the Jewish people, "a man like this who believes so strongly in me." So obviously this captain had his antennas up every time he heard anything discussed or said about Jesus. "Listen, everyone, never have I found among the people of God a man like this who believes so strongly in me." Verse 10, Jesus then spoke the healing word. So now he's speaking the healing word from a distance. He's not at the person's home. "And when the man's friends returned to the home, they found the servant completely healed and doing fine." Completely healed and doing fine. So there's some key points in this story here. First of all, I want to look at the fact that this centurion is not Jewish. Jesus came for the Jews first, but he also, we look at the Syrophoenician woman who came to Jesus with her daughter, okay, and they try to get rid of her and so forth. He healed that daughter in that situation. He healed. He is not a respecter of persons, okay? But it was a Roman military captain who believed with such great faith, and yet there were Jews who didn't believe in him. Obviously, the paralyzed man that was lowered down through the roof, okay, the Jews that were there had to be a large enough crowd, and I'm sure there were people there who needed healing, but They didn't believe because Jesus only healed the paralyzed man and notices the faith. He saw their faith. So today we even have Christians in the body of Christ who are believers, but don't believe that Jesus heals. It's not complicated. The second point I want to make, Jesus healed people outside of the Jewish religion. Outside of the Jewish religion. He didn't just say, no, I'm only here and I can't do that. He did talk about it in terms of the Syrophoenician woman, but he still healed the daughter. Third point, he also heard about Jesus. We see so many of the stories where they heard about Jesus. So just like Bartimaeus, okay, he's got to get to Jesus. He's got to make the connection to get that power activated for his servant. Four, he was willing to go on behalf of his servant, and he loved his servant. And when you love people, you want to see them healed and whole. There's nothing worse than experiencing or seeing people having to cope, deal with, live with sickness and disease when you know the healer. The fifth thing, as Christians, many times people ask us to pray for them or a family member. So we see here that the centurion's faith connected with Jesus, activating the healing power for his servant. It was the centurion's faith that activated the healing power for the servant. And many times we know of people that are in hospitals and there's situations where doctors give up on them, all right? But the healing power of Jesus Christ is available to heal these people. I just want to encourage you not to give up when you know about these situations. So many of you heard me share the story about when I was at Rhema, the gal Kiki, and how she had overdosed and was given up by three doctors, said she's, you know, brain dead, she's not going to be able to function normally. And the three neurologists that made this declaration were telling everybody, pull the plug. The husband was ready to do it. He was a baby Christian. But thank God there was our morning prayer group, because she was in Puerto Rico. We heard about this news back in the spring of 2017. And we started praying for her and believing and declaring that she was healed and whole. She was too young to leave. She was in her 30s. And it was a really tough situation, but we had to contend. We had to stick with it. And if you're in that situation, one of the things you have to do is you have to push back and you have to say, no, I am going to connect with Jesus. The healing power is present. And I believe by faith that it will happen. It has happened, actually, at Calvary. It has happened. So number six, another point, those of you who may someday be part of RLCC Healing Ministry, a healing school, a healing division here. We know that there's great things that are going to be coming down the pike. Or you are currently being used by the Lord today to pray for others. We need to help people make that connection with Jesus. Activate their faith and then ultimately activate the healing power of Jesus into their bodies. All right? And last time I worked or taught on this in part one, we talked about Romans 8:11. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. So we are the conduits. We're the ones that are going to bring that healing power to those in need. Seventh point, have we not been taught that we have authority over sickness and disease and we are to use it? We keep hearing that. Use your authority. So whether for ourselves or for others, we should be using our authority. Point number eight, great faith was found in a Roman and not a Jew. The great faith. Awesome. Amen. That's okay. It's still there. Number nine, we too can speak a healing word from a distance for someone. We spoke from Oklahoma a distance. Kiki was in Puerto Rico, and we spoke from there and declared from there that she was healed. After 10 weeks, a 10-week period of time, she walked out of the hospital completely healed. Don't tell me that miracles can't happen today, okay? So we can speak from a distance for someone. So whether you call it a prayer or a declaration, Jesus spoke the word and the healing flowed, and we too can speak the word. Now, each of these stories, okay, of healing, the situations were close to death or they were it required a miracle on behalf of God. It required a miracle for these people to survive, to make it through, okay? So we see that, all right? So we need to expect our Lord Jesus to do the impossible. It should not be an uncommon occurrence. We should be expecting the impossible for people. Get to a point where when the doctors give you a negative report, you shut it off and you go with the word. You go with the word. So in closing, I'm going to go to the healing in Acts 9 that we talked about, because that is also specific and has a lot to do about today in healing. Acts 9, 32 to 35. I'm going to read it in the New King James, just three verses there. I've gotten really intertwined with this particular story. Acts 9, 32 to 35, the New King James Version. Now it came to pass as Peter went through all parts of the country. Okay, so now think about this. Peter's going throughout all parts of the country. Peter is obeying the Great Commission. He's going through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. 8 years paralyzed. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Jesus the Christ heals you. Jesus the Christ heals you. Jesus the Christ heals you." Make that connection to the healer. You are healed. You were healed. It's done. Jesus the Christ heals you. "Arise and make your bed." Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. One man's healing was a distinct evangelistic movement where two towns, Lydda and Sharon, the people come to Christ. Everybody. They obviously knew him. 8 years he's paralyzed. He's healed. And now everybody's believing in Jesus Christ. Okay? 8 years paralyzed. All Peter did was make a declaration. "Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you." There's no mention of Aeneas having any faith, but I do believe that Peter saw it. He was with Jesus for all those years. He saw how Jesus operated. And just like Jesus could see faith in people, that is why Peter made the declaration. I believe he saw the faith in Aeneas. And you and I get comfortable with that after a while. When you pray for people, you can see that they're excited and full of faith or full of doubt or somewhere in between. Jesus Christ heals you. He makes the declaration followed by instructions to arise and make his bed. Peter connected Aeneas to Jesus with that declaration, and his obedience to rise and make his bed was confirmation that he was in faith. But he did it immediately. Immediately. And we talked about, you know, the fact that for you and I, Romans 8, 11, last week, or the last time I did the message, part one, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. So when I go out and lay hands on the people, I expect a change to happen. I expect the impossible. If the doctors are saying it's impossible, I expect the impossible to become possible. I expect it. So, a word of caution: do not get used to living with your symptoms. And I don't care what they are. There's a fine line where we will tolerate the symptoms and end up accepting the condition. That is exactly what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to give up. He wants to wear you down. He wants to get you to move from believing to doubt and then unbelief and totally out of the picture. There's so many people that I know that get discouraged and a situation happens. They don't see a change. They don't see the healing happening in a certain time frame, and they get up. They give up and they get angry even at God. So that's the enemy's job. Know about it, but move on. Your own words will activate the healing power of God in your body if that is what you need. Your own words will activate that healing power, build up your faith, and create a connection. So we are conduits that Jesus will use to bring healing to a lost world. You and I have the same great commission orders as Peter. And we have the same anointing power. We talked about that in the last message. We have that same anointing power to do the works of Jesus. It's on us to do that. Thank God for this ministry. Thank God for our pastors and that they have taught us that we will go out into the world, part of the Great Commission, and share the gospel with people. Jesus Christ is in us, and he's given us a job to do. So that phrase, Jesus Christ heals you, write it on a piece of paper, stick it on your forehead, stick it on the mirror, something, okay? Get used to saying it. Get used to believing it. Jesus Christ heals me. Amen. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then we'll give people an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are the healer. You sent Jesus to the cross. He took all the symptoms of sickness and disease so we could make this great exchange and experience healing. And it's for today. It's here today. The miracles that you have done are not from the past. They are today, here and now. We thank you, Father. And I thank you that everybody listening to this message will be encouraged and they will step out in faith. Their faith will be encouraged and they will realize from these stories that just like the centurion, we have authority. We can declare and decree the end from the beginning. We declare what we believe we will see. We thank you, Father God, that your healing power is present and it's working in bodies as they're listening to this message to bring about a healing and a cure. In the name, the precious name of Jesus, amen and amen. So if you're listening tonight and maybe you've tuned in for the first time to this broadcast, you may not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you can experience the healer. So if you just say this short prayer after me, repeat after me, you can not only be removed from darkness to light, but your future will be from hell to heaven. And so just say this after me. Say, Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that Jesus was crucified, died, buried, and rose on the third day. Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart, and take over my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you that I now have eternal life with you. Amen and amen. That simple prayer, if you pray that prayer from Romans 10, 9 and 10, that God has raise him from the dead. It says in the scriptures right on the screen there that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We ask that if you've done that prayer, we'd like to get some free information, some free material to you. So we ask that you reach out to us, contact us. You can contact us by mail. The address is there, RLCC. 145 West Route 59 in Nanuet. You can call us by phone and we will get the information to you. The phone number's on the screen, or you can go to our website by email. So whichever way, you need to start out going in the right direction. You need to get the right instructions so that you can go down the right path, get the right teachings, and get your life going in the right direction. And we'd be more than happy to do that. So please reach out to us.